Welcome to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angeline Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. What happens physiologically and psychologically as we grow older? What is the role of an elder in our society? What does positive aging mean? What part does nutrition play in remaining fit and healthy? And why is it so important to remain active in our later years? Why do so many of our elders engage in music, art, dance, poetry? Can we start new careers in our 50s and 60s? What is the role of spirituality? And what does it mean to live a fulfilled life? All these questions and more will be answered by a panel of experts, including a professor of gerontology, medical doctors, an Ayurvedic doctor, a homeopath, a psychologist, dancers, writers, artists, teachers, healers, all of whom share a passion for life and a commitment to remain engaged with the younger generation. In this program, Fred Walker, Sister Rachel, Tom Wynn, Tony Hugh, Paddy McMahon, and Dr. Don Brennan talk about the vocation in the field of healing.
What I have found over the years is that the better the remedy I give a person, the less they need to see me, which is a very healthy way of being a helper in the healing field.
Last September, I was 80 years of age.
And you have been a Catholic nun for many, many years now?
Yes. Well, in 1948, in May 1948, so that would be 63 years, is it? Something like that.
Can you tell me a little bit about your work?
Many, many years ago, I was in Rotherham, South Yorkshire. That's where I learned first about reflexology. Zones in our hands and feet correspond to the organs of our body. I accepted it because I thought the Lord wouldn't have finished us off properly if he hadn't have given us something like this to do to keep ourselves healthy, or if we get sick, then to make ourselves well.
How long have you been practicing reflexology on people?
About 25 years.
And you're 80 and you still work as a reflexologist.
Yes, and I love it. Yes. I had 5 clients a day. I had 8 yesterday.
And how do you keep yourself healthy?
Well, I try to eat good things, and I would drink water at least 8 glasses a day. And I would move around. I wouldn't dream of getting into a lift. That's just a few steps up. If it's going to the very top of the house, I might. And I would get on the old trampoline and I would have a go of it if I get the time. I wouldn't sit up all hours watching telly or anything like that. And there's a few things that, well, which I would consider, people might think I'm mad. But you know, the mobile phones, well, I haven't got one. And in fact, if I'm sitting in the car and if somebody, their phone rings or they want to make a phone call, I'd open the window and let the old radiation out. So little things like that, or cordless phones, I try to stay away from them.
Dr. Brennan, I was wondering if you could talk about healing from the Ayurvedic perspective.
Well, when I came to this whole ancient tradition, I was introduced through the practice of transcendental meditation to the concepts of consciousness as the basis of healing. The man who brought that knowledge from the Himalayas around the world was a man called Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who gave a wonderful talk back in Delhi in 1981 about different levels of healing. how we'll use the plants to heal us. But as we become more wakeful and profoundly alert, the very sounds or even the names of the herbs would have a profoundly healing influence. But fundamentally, his point was that when we totally wake up and are completely on that field of our innate consciousness, awake, alert, then in truth, the elder who having evolved to this level of profound wisdom, insight, awakening, his very presence is the healing.
I'm 80 on the 1st of January. My wife was ill for about 10 years, and when she eventually died, I went into a very dark place. When she was alive, she saw an ad in the paper, become a hypnotist and earn a fortune. So she thought that if I could become the hypnotist, I could hypnotize her and take away her pain. She was in pain. When she found out how much traveling, money and time was involved, she gave it up. When she died, I started the hypnotherapy course and became a hypnotherapist. That was absolutely incredible. I became an ardent student after my first experiences of hypnotherapy. Up till then, I was getting tireder, weaker, and more despondent, deeper into the dark place. But after the experiences of the therapy sessions, as part of the course, I was suddenly renewed, reinvigorated. Everything was wonderful. The life opened up in front of me. Mind you, I was 66 at the time, so I thought I was past it. But life since then has shown me that every single age that you arrive at, when you think that life is closing in on you, that looking at it from the vantage point of 10 years ahead, you are young. Nobody realizes just how young they are. When I did the hypnotherapy, there were elements of it that didn't suit me. So I went for the different therapies that were guaranteed virtually to give you a faster emotional release. Thought field therapy, emotional freedom therapy. There was, of course, Reiki, manual lymph drainage, all the different therapies followed one after the other. It lifted me out of that dark place. And now I've arrived at the point where I've continued with my passion for interaction with people. It is all about energy, and that is absolutely wonderful. A trauma enters the body, either mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically. The trigger enters the body. The energy is encapsulated in a little cyst in the body, and that cyst stays locked into the system, into the tissue, like a little microchip, and it stays there until you actually release it, consciously release it. And you do that by focusing your full attention on the cyst itself. And energy goes from the organized to the disorganized, and it takes organized energy to reverse the process. The organized energy of a trauma is the actual cause of the trauma, like a blow, a verbal assault, and it goes into the system, and the shock waves are encapsulated into this little cyst and stuck into the tissue to keep it out of the way so that you can get on with your life without having to contend with the emotion that this trauma has aroused in your body. Now, the body doesn't know this because it copes, it gets around it. It's just like maybe a hole in the road. You just widen the road so you don't have to fall into the hole. But it's a natural law that when you focus organized energy onto disorganized energy, it's the disorganized energy that reorganizes, and the emotion will leave the body the same way as it came in. The intent is the organized energy that is needed to cause this healing in the body. We generate so much energy every day. Now, if so much of the energy that we generate has to go to keep these traumas in place, then we haven't really got a proper amount of energy to perform our daily tasks easily. So the more of these energy cysts in our bodies that we get rid of, the more energy we have, and it prolongs your active life. Nature loves simplicity, but behind every simplicity in nature, there's a huge complexity of interactions in the body to extract the energies from it. It is simplicity itself. When I did the craniosacral therapy, I learned the craniosacral rhythm, and quite by accident I found that while I was holding a lady's hand, that I could also feel the rhythm. So it was like muscle testing. Stringing all of this together into one therapy is what the energy cone is all about. So when feelings come up in the body, all you have to do is to put your attention on exactly where the feeling is in the body, and it has to go. The energy in the cyst reorganizes itself and will actually leave the body.
I'm a practitioner of natural medicine, which means that I use natural remedies and natural approaches to identifying the causes of illness and to healing and clearing up the problems. I use a lot of modern devices and techniques to identify what's causing trouble. And I combine this with the very ancient art of healing, which is literally just intention of helping somebody to get well.
Tell us a little bit about these tools that you use.
Well, homeopathy is a principle of stimulating the body to do what it needs to do to heal itself. Acupuncture is also a technique of correcting the body's flow of natural energy in the body. Flower essences are vibrational substances that stimulate the body to heal trouble with emotions, beliefs, and stresses. Essential oils, what they do is they have got an effect of clearing the memory of stresses and emotional upsets from the past. Stresses which are stored deep in the body's tissues and which can be a block to healing and to recovery and to clearing of toxins. Aging is a process where the body's functions are damaged, the body's cells are damaged by oxidants. So taking plenty of good food with antioxidants, like the brassicae vegetables, vitamin C, vitamin E, serrapeptase enzyme, these are all very important to maintain your youth and your health.
I am 77. I was born in July 1933. Perhaps physically, as time goes on, I'm less able to do things, and I have to adjust to that I'm not pushing myself to do things, and to accept that I am old and that it's okay not to be able to do things. As long as I feel that I'm fairly okay mentally, well then I'm happy enough. In fact, it can be very useful that I don't have to do a lot of things that maybe I might have been expected to do when I was younger. In coming to accept oneself more, you know, in not trying to fight myself in a way, you know, that I feel that I ought to be doing this or that or the other, I come more to the acceptance that this is what I can do and this is what I can not do. Just to go along with that and maybe enjoy the feeling then that I don't have to be committed to all sorts of things that I might have felt when I was much younger. I don't ask that people respect me for my wisdom or anything like that, or go back to the old days where the old people were regarded as sages or such. I only enjoy being what I am. The fact that I don't see it as an ending in the sense of dying and that being the end of it all, I think is very helpful as far as I'm concerned. When I move on, that I have got rid of all the physical disabilities and all the cages, if you like, that surround me in the physical sense, and that I'll be able to move on and explore and without any sort of limitation, whatever may be of interest to me then. I find then that for me, old age is very comfortable. I'm able to walk, I'm able to talk, I'm able to listen a bit. I can maybe take advantage of the fact that I'm old and that I can say, look, I don't really feel up to that at the moment or whatever. Obviously, it's a fact of life, like, but the interesting thing is, I suppose, that from the moment we're born, as we're getting older, So we're, from the moment we were born, we're dying really in the literal physical sense. So it becomes a matter of adjustment to the different ages.
So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your own belief with regard to what happened after you die.
From my earliest days, I grew up with a fear of death. My father had given up the practice of religion when I was about six. When I was about 19, I had got a job in the civil service and I was going back to Dublin. We lived in Clare. When I was saying goodbye to him, I knew with a certainty that I wouldn't see him alive again. So then I thought I'd write to him all the things that I'd love to have said to him. But I hadn't written the letter when I got news of his death. I couldn't believe that he would be subject to punishment, even to the extreme punishment of going to hell, eternal punishment for life. So that changed my whole view of things. It wasn't until many years later, like when I moved into the other area of my life, when I started the whole thing of communication with guides and working with spirit guides and so on.
So tell me, what happened then? When you communicate with a spirit guide, how does that take shape? What happens for you?
Initially, when it happened, it was very obvious, like you talking to me, except there was no sound, of course. It was like something that was just floating into my head. I'd be, you know, maybe meeting somebody in the physical sense, and I'd be talking to them, and maybe there'd be another conversation coming in from the air, as it were.
Do you think that we all have spirit guides or guardian angels? Tell us about it.
I do, but I believe that we have free will. That is, of course, is a very important ingredient in our whole being of what we are, so that it's open to us. In other words, to choose whether we want to have these guides helping us or not, are helping us in a more obvious way in the sense of communicating with them and they with us. They're available to help anyway, whether we accept the reality of them.
How does one ask for the help of the spirit guides or guardian angel?
It's simply a question of sending a thought, a wish. Everything works through thought, even our relatives who have passed on, all the loved ones, they're only a thought away from us. Well, what we're inclined to do very often is to see the physical thing as being the totality of it, but nothing would have happened unless you had the thought first. It seems that when we pass on, when we move on, that what we think becomes an immediate reality, like, whereas on the physical scene, we'll have to take physical action before it materialises. At the same time, the actual manifestation is as real and even more real than it would be on Earth. The more that we are open-minded, the more possibilities there are. You know, there's no limit to what we can achieve.
Tell us, Paddy, what do you feel is the purpose of life?
I understand it like the whole thing of life, that it is, it's a continuity, that it's expressed out of the animating force of it, unconditional love, I like to think of it as that. That, in other words, then, that what we were aiming for is to reach a state where we express love unconditionally. It's really a question of accepting ourselves as we are. If I can accept myself as I am, I can accept others as they are. So I'm out of a whole way of judging people. And then the whole world opens up for me in a very loving acceptance way. So I think that that's the purpose of life, really, is to find that way of expressing ourselves and then see where that leads us into a whole sort of adventure. Well, the sky's the limit, in the sense that there's no end, no limit.
What would you say is the advantage to be in communication with our spirit guides and guardian angels? What can that bring to us?
I think it means that we're acknowledging that we need help. If you can imagine, say, for instance, you really like to help people, you want to help particularly to empower themselves, so you're not going to change when you move on. You'll want to do that and continue to do it. And so this is the same thing, like this is what happens, that our guides or whatever, you know, that we move on, that they want to help us. If we're open to receiving it, they can see in a broader pattern, they can see what we're trying to do with our lives, the different obstacles there are and so on, and help us to get over them, you know, and help us to find more fulfillment in our lives. I see it as very simple, really, that it's more the whole thing of not seeing life in compartments. You know, there's a physical life and a spirit life. They're all the one. It's all spirit. We just happen to be on a physical journey at the moment, you know. My legacy, I would hope, would be that I would help people to find their own way and to realize that nobody else can do that for them, you know, that they can be helped all along the way, but each of us has our own truth. My legacy, obviously part of it was doing the writing that I've done, that they would help people along their way, that they would find whatever way suits them, or find ways of expressing themselves, their creativity, and what they want to do with their lives. It's the great thing about being young, being able to effect change, being able to see that there aren't any borders really to what one can do. I'm constantly in amazement at the way things are moving. What I would want to do is to be receptive to that and not to dismiss it, you know, and to encourage it. So all I can bring is perhaps my encouragement, my admiration, and maybe to say that things don't need to happen all at once, you know, that perhaps to be patient if things don't work out straight away. I suppose the only thing I can say is that each age has its own particular highlights. The more that we can accept that and how we can adjust to it and perhaps be accommodating of each age in ourselves, that we can stay young and at the same time accepting the limitations of old age.
It isn't what you do that matters. It's the way you do what you do. When you meet a challenge in your life, you may focus on the fear, the obstacle, or you may focus on the outcome. Remember how strong you are. All the challenges you have already moved through. You are more powerful than you can ever imagine. Breathe. Feel the sacredness of your breath. Remember that each breath is an opportunity for you to start again with new energy, new potential, new positivity. Whatever happened before this moment is gone, never to return. Today is a new beginning. You can start again, right here, right now. No matter how old you are, or whatever happened in your life before this moment, you have the power to create a new life for yourself. A life in which you play the central role, where you are the main actor on the stage of your life, where no matter your circumstances, physical, financial, emotional,
spiritual. You are in charge of your life. Allow yourself to cast your mind back to a time long before this time. A time when you still allowed yourself to dream. What did you used to dream about? If you were free to do whatever you really want to do, what would you do? What is in your heart? If this was the last thing you could do, what would it be? What is the one thing you want to do with your life before it's over? There is always new opportunities. There's always something wonderful that you can do right here, right now. You were listening to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angèle Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. This program featured Fred Walker, Sister Rachel, Tom Wynn, Dr. Don Brennan, Tony Hugh, and Paddy McMahon. The music on this program is from Seamus Byrne, and you can find out more about his music on www.brotherseamus.ie. If you want to get in touch with any of the contributors, you can contact us through www.springintolife.ie. Tune in again next week to find out about the role of spirituality in our golden years.